Yeah, I just wanted you to find out personally how God dealt with another person, because he didn't deal with me that way. See, mine was different. And I'm very, very appreciative of the fact that he found preeminence and understanding the roles. And that is not difficult. If you start with Brother Branham's truly basic premises of opening the seals, it was the church ages. And in there, he was very strong on the judge. In fact, it threw me for a loop. He was so strong on the judge. He mentioned that one in Revelation. Was it chapter 1, verse 12, 13, somewhere in there? The one with the white hair, you know, and the robe girt about the paps, the golden girdle. And he said that God showed him that was the judge. And then he expounded on that so thoroughly, he took him into Daniel's vision. And then he took him down to the white throne judgment. And I said, oh God, what's that man talking about? There's no white throne judgment going on. He was talking about the dominant role, the judge, and this hour. And the dominant role, the judge, he linked to Sodom. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Then what is this business of the judge? What's happening? And he said, well, that was the one in the cloud. He came down. See, if you start someplace, you can start someplace. And I'm glad to hear I never knew how Brother Clausen started. I didn't start that way because I got intrigued with Brother Branham's assertion that the appearing and the coming were two different things. And I said, it's got to be in the Bible. Because Brother Branham did not add to the word or take from the word, he revealed the word. That was his special gift. And I said, well, Lord, I'm going to go just one more time casually, because I don't believe in looking for things. I know you look for them, but you don't look for things. You just look at things. Says that Moses did. He said, let me look at this thing. He said, a bush burning doesn't consume. He said, hey. He didn't say, well, let me see if I'll go back in my chemistry courses. He just stood there. He looked at it. And the voice spoke to him. So I went to the word and I said, now it's got to be in the word. And I'll go through the Greek one more time, though I'm not a Greek student. I'll see if I see something. And as I was looking for appearing, I came upon presence. And I knew that Jehovah Witness had already discovered that for themselves. And that was fine by me because, you know, the devil counterfeits everything. That's why the virgin birth was so in disrepute. Oh, virgin birth, my foot fat. Was a soldier got her pregnant? We know about virgin birth. Sure, sure, sure. The priests and monks and the monkeys in the temple, they get all the women in there. And in the dark, they're seduced and they have babies. And, of course, they're sons of God. Blah, blah, we know that. Now, that's the truth. That's exactly what went on in that day. And you can talk to people right now, too, that are of, let's say, Arabian, the Ishmael descents and the Esau. And they'll tell you, what, we don't go for virgin birth stuff. That's a bunch of mythology. So the devil has always counterfeited things. Dowie thought he was Elijah. Many people get very insulted and they get very uptight. If there's letters going around even now from different sources, I could name them, what's the use? And they pan our understanding of the presence. One person says it's Catholicism, one says Joannesis. I beat him to the punch years ago. I told him as soon as I preached the sermon, I said, Joannesis preached this, but remember, there's a real one. Brother Bannon said, we don't go for Elijah's mantles, but there's a real Elijah ministry. So we understand these things. So that's how I came upon studying, because I was looking for the appearing. And then Brother Branham mentioned that this same one began to appear in the first appearing in June the 11th, 1933, when he came down, was seen like a rainbow. And he put that as the appearing. But you notice he ended up with Revelation 10 and 1 as the consummate appearing. And you notice, therefore, the role began to grow and to move back and to grow and to move back and to grow until suddenly there he was. And that was that one that came down with his picture surrounded by angels. You see, I don't know that I can go for that. You do what you like. I mean, I got no problem. I go for it. Lock, stock, and barrel. I'm not. I'm not worried about it. You say, well, that was the phenomenon. And you know, you'll wake up someday and find, well, praise the Lord. I got too much from the old company. What do you got to offer me? At least I had a vindicated prophet. You know, look at, let's face it. A person that can sneeze 30 times is a better sneezer than one that can only sneeze 7. I hope you're getting the drift. I got an awful way of putting things for them, terribly sarcastic and ironic. But you see, I mean it in a nice way. And Brother Branham could out-sneeze the sneezers. And out-squeeze the squeezers. And he out-prophesied and out-revealed the so-called prophets and revealers. And he lived a life they couldn't approximate. They talked about what they couldn't do it. You see, I'm a very strong defender of a man that doesn't need any defenses. He should defend me. So I appreciate that hearing that how that came about, and I trust you can take hope from it. If you don't see some things, you just begin looking very casually and see what the Lord might offer you. Now, I've been looking over these questions here. I think I got the questions mixed up with my notes. If I start preaching my notes over again, you know what happened. Whoops, here are the questions are right here. And so we'll see. I might have to have some help on these. I don't know. But appreciate you all coming out this afternoon. And trust the Lord blesses you. And just to start off with, you know, many times I have to explain, you see, that I'm not a prophet. I just am not a prophet. There's something a little akin to a prophet in the ministry that I have, as there is something akin to the prophet in every fivefold ministry. See, because every fivefold minister or ministry, put it that way, not minister, definitely is kind of like a... Well, let me read it to you, because then it's kind of like what it is. If I read it, I don't make any mistakes. Over here, you know, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, you all know where I'm going to go on that one. And he says here, now, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, that's what it tells you there. There's everybody in the bride has something specific according to the grace, and which is according to a measure. See, the every gift is measured. That's distinctly why he has the recognition of apostles, prophets. Now, remember, the prophet he speaks of there is only a fivefold prophet. He's not a prophet like Brother Branham or Paul or Moses. It's a different prophet entirely. That's why Paul could say, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, then acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. Now, how could he say that if he wasn't above the fivefold ministry? So you see, there's a measure. Now, it's measured this way. Apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, and pastor. Now, it doesn't mean the pastor is the low end of the totem pole. It doesn't mean that at all. But there are certain measures in there. And you can see where one measure would have to be above another. It's just like the eye and the breathing and the heart and the various organs and those things in there. See, and then God puts them as He wants them. And we don't say, well, I got no need of the hand because, you see, I'm a very special organ. And Brother Branham one time, I tried to get him off a trail, but he'd already tried to get himself off a trail. And I was so fed up with preachers, I wasn't quite as bad as he was, because he said, if you want to get messed up, just get around a bunch of preachers. And I said, hallelujah, Brother Branham, you always did tell the truth, even when you got a little bit disgusted. Praise God. A little sharp at time. But anyway, I said to him one day, I said, Brother Branham, I said, the way these guys treat you and the way things are done, I said, they burn me up. I said, hey, I've learned something about your ministry, and I saw what it can do. I said, let's you and I just go to towns, and we'll put our own meeting on. We don't need these guys to hold it, hold it, hold it, he said. He said, I was trying that one time. The Lord appeared and said, you can't do without the ministry. See, so nobody can do without anybody else. You're all one. You see, it's very nice to know that word cohesiveness, cohesion, glue, and stick'em. But how come we're not happy when we're stuck'em with each other? Something is wrong with our thinking. I do believe there's something wrong with it, because we should be very happy that we are stuck together. That, you know, that we do have this bond. It's a marriage bond. It's greater than a marriage bond because it's a life bond. Husband and wife can die and separate, but I tell you what, it's different than this here. All right, now, you have a measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that descended, what is he first descend, and so on. And then it says, and he gave some apostles, and so on, right down the line. Now, you notice in there, there's an absolute picture of what the Roman Catholic churches use in vicarage. You got your pope and your cardinals and your bishops and what have you and what have you. And the Protestants have the same thing. They got their presidents and presidents, and they got the general superintendent of the glorious assembly. Yes. Then they have the district presbyters. Caught in the web of the devil, claiming the Holy Ghost, don't even know it. They got a hierarchy. Now, God has a hierarchy. He's got a vicarage. The first vicar and the main vicar of God is the Holy Ghost himself. He said, I will send you another comforter, and the Holy Ghost was given. From that vicarage, God has got to have a man, and he's got a messenger in every single church age. So that's the next vicar. In other words, who is a vicar? He takes the place of Christ, comes vicarious. Who takes the place of the Lord Jesus? He's not here in flesh, the Holy Ghost, right? God himself. Then who does he have? He has a messenger. See, right? Certainly said, unto the messenger which is in the church of Ephesus, the Spirit speaks. And then every age has the Holy Ghost speaking to a spokesman to the church, and it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. See? What the Spirit says. But the Spirit does not speak to the churches, it speaks to an individual. So that's vicar number two. Now then you've got a fivefold ministry, which becomes vicar number three. Then you've got a people who begin spreading the message, and that comes down to vicar number four. So the whole thing is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's that head, the physical head. We're talking now of the body. So you see, there is a handing down, you see. Now, each one of these ministries has a certain responsibility. And it's not a preeminence, it's a responsibility, because to whom much is given, much is required, see. Now, these people here, representing the Lord Jesus Christ and all of us together, have our roles. And we have our gifts, we have our positions, and we are therefore to minister in such a way by the leading of the Spirit. Now, let me show you something, how you got to be used of the Spirit. If I can find it over here. Oh my, where is that anyway? In Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think, under the power, according to the power that worketh in us. Now it says here, really, the literal translation, unto him who in the exercise of his power that is at work within us. It doesn't even say that you've got something to work with. It says there's something in you that God put there that God's got to work with. That's why it says it's God in you, willing and doing his good pleasure, and except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. See? So God wants to move in a bride that is solely and wholly dedicated to him. And you notice in there, every single one will have a role in representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we take that right back to which we're the judge. You see, which we look at the judge, just go on back there. And we see now, what is the Holy Ghost doing? He is playing a role in the church. Now, that role then has to be told to the messenger of that age. Then, as Paul said, teach faithful men like I have taught you, and they will take that out there too. Now, that role that he had of the judge way back there, which came down, it was man, let me put it this way. It was manifest just before Sodom and Gomorrah, the role. And at that time, like I mentioned last night, it was said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, that's the Sodom condition that pertains in this hour with the homosexual and all. So we have a judge, just like it was back there, see? Now, those roles become there. It was dominant back there. And you'll notice the role of a judge was not dominant too many times. But it became, to Israel, it was in Israel, dominant as prophets came forth and prophesied doom and said what would happen, and it would happen, then you watch it go back. Notice how God stepped back with Ahab one time. Ahab was condemned, and Ahab began to walk softly. So God said, notice how he walked softly. I will draw back. See? He drew back. Now you got to see those roles, how they come and how they go. And with that, you'll see the role being dominant, you'll see the role being recessive, and coming and going. Now, we had Jesus descend then, that one in Revelation we talked about, that one right there, that Brother Jack Moore said, well, that was the glorified form. And Brother Branham said, no, that is the judge. And Brother Branham showed, taking, as I said, what made me so terribly mixed up, was he would put him down in this hour here, which I couldn't see at all, and then he put him down at the white throne, and I said, well, man, he's all mixed up, I can't understand this, because lo and behold, he's got him way here, and he's got him here, and I don't know where anything is anymore. But by reading the scripture, and having read what Brother Branham said, and couldn't place it, I was able, by the grace of the Lord, to suddenly see the scripture open up to me on the grounds of what he taught. See? Now, see, I'm not a prophet. I can't do what a prophet tells to do, because I'm not built that way. I got a little ministry that is alongside of his, the same as yours is alongside of his, with everything sublimated to it. Everything is put under it. So, now, I can look at a thing, and I know something is there, but I don't know what all is there. But if I don't take my step of faith and start preaching it and teaching it, knowing something is there, I cannot get that thing clear by just sitting down and saying, look, I'm going to work on this until I can come before the people and bring them something definitive. I can't do it. That's not the way it goes. Now, with you, it might be something different, but I don't know anybody else who can do any different, because we're not prophets. So we see in here how Brother Branham, our great final authority, and we co-workers together with him, we definitely ministers of Jesus Christ, our own little bit of vicarage, our own little bit of revelation, and we're waiting for more and more revelation that comes along. Then we can do the service that God wants for us, and we're playing the role that we should be in. So therefore, the judge role at this point has not passed by. The sentence has been given in God's court. The bride is vindicated. She's perfectly free. The world has been condemned, and it's got to burn. It's got to be destroyed. But the judge does not carry out the execution of the sentence. See, he's in the judicial branch. And he's not in the branch of the judiciary at this time that carries out the sentence. Now remember, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming back with the bride and carry out the sentence. And we carry out the sentence with him. So you see right now, you can see roles that are dominant and roles that are not so dominant. They're recessive. And you have roles in the church that are dominant, and you have roles that are recessive. But all those roles are working together, as Brother Branham said, to paint one glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in a bride form. See, that's why he was so serious before he died, to live that life that was so close to God, keeping himself right under control. So that's just some thoughts we had. And I want to get into, I know I missed some points in what I was going to bring out here, but that's the way I work sometimes. Let's look at these questions. Why is there so many questions about the presence when the prophet so many times said that he is here? In so many messages, he expressed that he is present. Thank God for those who are saying what the prophet said. All right, now the question was, in view of the fact that Brother Branham actually said that so many times, and said in Spokane, my message is to declare that he is here, why then do they not say what the prophet said, of course, and believe what the prophet expressed to them? Well, it's this. People have been taught all along that he is here, and he is. By the baptism with the Holy Ghost, we know that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no two ways about it. But what they don't understand is the fact of the roles. They don't understand the fact of the hours. They don't understand how God has always done things. And so therefore, these people cannot find themselves illuminated by the statement that Brother Branham made, that he is here. Because they cannot get away from the thinking that we've known he's been here for 2,000 years. That's true. And because we're full of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, they sing all those things. And nobody is going to doubt it on the grounds the prophet said he is here tonight, and he's down in Africa down there. He's with the prophet. There is a part of God. I wish I'd have got Tommy Flanagan to give me that quote when I was out in Tucson. I just laid it aside, and I never got it done, and now I am not in touch with him. But he gave me a quote where Brother Branham categorically is saying the same thing I'm saying here, that there is a part of God that's absolutely in one place. Now, God is not amorphous. No matter how you put it, let's understand this, that God in the midst of us cannot be construed in this hour to be simply the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the prophet said justification gives way to sanctification, sanctification gives way to the baptism, and the baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. In other words, the baptism gives way to the baptizer. Not that people cannot be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not for one minute we're not saying that. You can be. I brought it out last night. The church doors were open to the Gentiles and to the Jews both. Make no mistake about it. The 10th, 11th chapter of the book of Acts tell you how it's open to the Gentiles under Peter's ministry. But remember, the gospel never really came to the Gentiles until Paul was forced to turn to them. And that's, I think, in the 13th chapter. And he said, since you have rejected it, we go to the Gentiles. And that Paul tells that the Gentiles' eyes were open while Israel was blinded. That's how you get the Jews under the fifth seal. You don't kill a man because he's blind. Neither could God destroy them because they're blind. He puts them to one side. You put them under wraps, so to speak. So you see, when we're talking about that presence, the door to both Gentile and Jews was open. The pillar of fire was noticed absolutely when he was dividing himself amongst the people. But you notice at that time he was not giving the revelation. The apostles that had the revelation had been with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit bringing to their minds what he had said. Because that's the promise in John. But when Paul saw the pillar of fire and struck him down, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus. I'm Jehovah's Savior." That wasn't the body. That was the pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire said, you go into a town, you go to Damascus in a street called Straight, and there Ananias is praying and he'll lay hands on you and you'll receive the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul did not receive the pillar of fire. He received the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you could say, from the pillar of fire, if you want to put it that way. Then he went down to Arabia for 3 years, and they're speaking face to face with the pillar of fire. He got the word of God. But notice, he was full of the Holy Ghost first. And the churches were already, the doors open. Now he goes on the road. And the pillar of fire does not appear again until this hour. And what is the pillar of fire doing? The same one that's baptizing with the Holy Ghost is now appearing to the prophet and giving him the word for this hour and sum up the whole thing because time runs out. Now you see, that couldn't happen except under these conditions. And the Bible expresses it as the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And Brother Branham said, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ comes down. Or he's putting it the other way. He said, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes down and sets himself at the head of the church. He said, headship is here. He tells us. Now, he must have meant what he said. Now, the people who don't understand it are constantly not seeing this, cannot see it, or refuse to see it, and they're going back to the baptism. Then my question, how much baptism have you got if you can't see this? Now, I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just trying to stay with the Word. See? See, the baptism does not constitute the baptizer. It comes from the baptizer. See, just the same as insemination and fertilization does not constitute the Father. It comes from the Father. A man could, if Adam could have lived on, as in Adam all died, so they're all men. What if Adam could have been the father, actually, of literally, what? 5 billion people a day, 5 billion died back there, 15, 20 billion people. And he could well have been spermatically, seminally speaking. But all of those could not have constituted Adam, though Adam constituted them on the grounds of an origin. Well, who can claim the great originator? The token himself is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've said it many times, Brother Branham has a great ministry. And he's demonstrated. He said, look, bring me your worst case. So they bring their worst case and the little girl's healed. Oh, they go wild. You know, now calm down. How many Baptists? Oh, good. Baptists, good. How many Presbyterians? Got Presbyterians? Oh, got Methodists, Pentecostals, Catholics. Oh, good. Got four. We got 40 different people here. 40 weeks. We got 5,000 people. And we got all these people here. Say, well, I tell you what. We're going to too busy right now to to deal with you, but because I see you're hungry. So, like Christ, he sets them all down and perhaps brings in some loaves and fishes. Breaks the loaves and fishes and passes them all out. Now, they're all sitting eating loaves and fishes. Now, I'm going to tell you why this great ministry is here. See? Now, they all know they're eating loaves and fishes. Now, you know the Baptists are full of the Holy Ghost according to them. The Catholics took the wafer and got confirmed they're full of the Holy Ghost. The Methodists got baptized and sprinkled, they got the Holy Ghost. The Pentecost spoke in tongues, they got the Holy Ghost. Everybody's got the Holy Ghost, so now they all know they got the Holy Ghost. So therefore he's here, see? Now we're going to liken this to eating all the loaves and fishes. And he comes in and he says to all these folk who know they're eating loaves and fishes, he said, now the purpose of this great, great ministry of mine is to declare you're eating loaves and fishes. He said, well, you've got to be nuts. We know we're eating loaves and fishes. Now, Brother Branham knew that the people, Baptists, believe they're full of the Holy Ghost, and the Pentecostals, and the Nazarenes, the Methodists, and even the Catholics. And then he comes on the scene with his great ministry. My ministry is to declare that he is here, and he tells you in the tape on the rapture, there is no such thing as a true healing revival unless there is a message, and a new message from God, because God does not give the same tired old message. Why would he bother repeating it? So when he's telling you he is here, you've got to know that he's here in a way that you didn't know that he was here. Well, there's something wrong somewhere, brother, sister. Look, I'm going to tell you something. William Branham was not an idiot, and I am not an idiot. You bet your sweet life I'll challenge any idiot in the world. I'm not half-baked, and I'm not so mentally messed up. You just cross-source me and find out. No. I worry about smartness. I'm just telling you I am not crazy. No way, shape, and form. And I'm not speaking to a bunch of crazy people. Amen. I wouldn't waste my time. It ain't worth it. See? So you get the picture I'm talking about here. They don't understand what Brother Brown's saying. They haven't got a clue, really, when they hear him say such things. My ministry is to declare that he is here. That ministry that parallels Jesus Christ, that Daddy Bosser said, that's the ministry of Christ, returned to earth in that man, and he's doing all these things. As well, I'm just going to tell you something you already know. You see what I'm saying? So that with a person in this position here, I'm not hitting him as though he's got no brains or anything. I'm just telling you that he is not getting a grasp of what is going on or has gone on. That's all there is to it. I mean, that's all there is to it. He just hasn't got a grasp of it. And the big thing is he hasn't ripped aside the veils that are hanging over his face. Number one was the Roman Catholic veil, which is number four church age. You say, why that? Because, look, everything disappeared into the church. That's when the whole thing died, went underground. And then Luther came into existence as number five. West is number six, and Pentecost is number seven. And there's all a veil there. Now let's take a look at those veils. Oh, what do you got? It's 6 o'clock tonight to get out of here? I'm going to get you out of here. I'll answer the next ones in a hurry. Where is I going to? Oh, yeah, 2 Corinthians. All right, you can leave now. You won't have to leave later. If you go. All right, listen. 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, rather, let's go to 15. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. When Luther is read, when Wesley is read, when Pentecost is read, nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, what the heart? The veil shall be taken away. There's got to be something in here to get that veil off of your face. You got pimples on your face, but put them there. Something inside of you. What's going to get them out of you? Off the pimples off your face. Get out of you what's inside of you, putting them on your face. So there's something in here putting a veil on you. Get it out of there. Let the heart turn to God. So I've already turned to God. Well, then you're finished. You're gone. I'm sorry. The light travels, brother, sister. We're not playing the family circus, little kid trying to get a little sun dot. You're a little speck of the sun, you know. We're not playing circus. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there be. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass. Every veil is taken off. Everything we ever knew. Why? Because God would not be able to send a prophet under any other condition. The condition is what is the condition today? Wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, and don't know it. Now you talk about insanity. That is insanity. Brother Branham took the woman as a type. The woman going down the street almost naked.
He said, my mother would be put in prison. So would mine have been put in prison. My mother wore street sweepers. The old high button shoes. Yeah, I remember those days. I'm old enough. I'm all the way from the horse and buggy to the jet age. My generation. That's my generation I'm talking about. My wife's and some, maybe one or two here. You're your small fry yet. You're going to get there, though, if the time goes on. I mean, you're not very old, in other words. Now, listen. We with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, listen. There started that change way back in the time of Luther. And it came up to the place where you'd finally see another veil ripped off. And when that veil was ripped off, that would be the last veil. And you'd be seeing him face to face and your change would set in. Now, how are you going to see him face to face, as it says over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, that he's face to face to be seen until it's the hour? See? People just won't live in the times in which we're living in. They want to go way back. Now, Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? To so bring Christ to you, you'll see him face to face without a veil and get changed. Now, you tell me when he was here doing that before. It was started. But now he's here because it's headship. Everything's been poured out. With the prophet, the last prophet, everything poured out. We're like a neck of the body, the last part of the pyramid, the last little bit in there. Then when it's poured out, now look, we don't have a blackboard here, but you all, on every one of the church, of the books, Church Age and the Spoken Word, the whole bunch, had for a long time, they had the pyramid and the capstone above it. But there was something missing. They didn't realize that Brother Branham said, see those little lines coming down. Well, I forget what book it's in, doesn't matter. What is it? Yeah, Statue of Perfect Man. Little lines coming down. See? I remember when I told that to Jack Palmer, he said, me, I know just where that is. Turn right to it. They hadn't caught it. You see? They left the little lines out. Where the Holy Spirit coming down. Brother Branham drew me and my wife a picture. He said, see, here's done. Here's God. Drew a circle. Now he said, here's the Bible. Here's the Word. And here's the Holy Spirit coming from God down to the Word, and it hits these people here. Now here's the prostitute. She was all black, but a tiny bit white. It hit her. She turned perfectly white. Here's Simon the Pharisee. He's all white, a little bit black. It hits the black. Turns all black. It hits that bit of white and turns all black. The Holy Ghost doing it, see? Now, that pyramid, that little pyramid, which is the capstone up there, everything is in it being poured down through seven church ages. And when it runs out what's in Christ to be given to the church, there's nothing left but the capstone. And you don't see any more lines coming down. So when there's nothing more to come down, that which is perfect is to come. It's all over for the church. So the one comes down, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was Logos, the Word.
Amen. Amen.
Now he sets himself over us because he's got to bring us into subjection. That's the klusma, that's the shout. Now you see, when I'm telling you in this question here, these people don't have a clue. They're just sitting there. How could it be? How could it be? How could it be? Get the veils off of your face. I've been trying to teach fears and show you. The first thing I learned from Brother Branham so definitely was this. I was not hearing what he was saying because I couldn't hear what he's saying. Well, you've been taught all your life that 2 and 2 are 5. Don't expect anybody to come along and say 2 and 2 is 4. You can't do it. See? You can't do it. So that's here's your answer. It's a long, involved answer. I'm not saying I'm going to give you revelation, Brother Branham revealed. I don't give revelation. I teach on what he reveals. You bet I do. That's my job.
Amen.
I got a gift to handle scriptures, Brother Branham said, that few living men have. And that's true. And I'm not smart with the Bible. Don't think I'm trying to be smart. I'm not. And I'm not trying to say to Billy Ghost, look, I'd be dead tomorrow and I wish you were. What I've got is an obligation to God and his people. And I don't like it. Because I'm lazy. I'll be honest, I'm lazy. I don't like to feel sick. I don't like for anything except eat ice cream and, you know, steaks this thick, roast baked potatoes, whipped cream. Forbidden just about all of that. Manna from heaven's got it. But I hope you're getting what I'm saying here. See? Paul said that this ministry lay in somebody's hands. A man.
If you're going to tell me that bless God you ought to come through, I got to say.
I don't talk to you about Levi. I said, would you come by what God said through a prophet, or you ain't coming?
Amen.
I say, I know that makes it pretty exclusive. And people say, well, I think you're going beyond it. Well, you can think what you want. This is my position. The question was asked. I know the question was not asked with any guile. It's a perfectly good question because the brother was saying, look here, how come people just don't see this? Well, I'm trying to get him to see. Look, I'm a minister, and I know when preachers say something, like my wife would get upset. She goes, Brother So-and-so said so-and-so. I'd get somebody to tape. I said, hold it, girl. I'm the minister, not you. I can give you four exact viewpoints right now what that boy could be saying. So don't you talk. I'm nice to my wife. But when she's wrong, she's wrong. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And she's got every right to correct me in the worldly position if I'm wrong about certain things. A wife doesn't need to be beating to man that goes out running with women and then gets some filthy disease from him. She can divorce him flat. The prophet says so, so don't tell me different. My wife can tell me certain things to do, and she's got every right to do it. When it comes to the word, I just don't want about anybody talking to me on that one. Not that I got all the answers. Now, not that I'm somebody. I don't say that one minute. But I said, you can talk to me, sure. But I want to tell you something, brother, sister. It comes through a man. And then this is why my marriage is a lot like the church. Supposed to be wife, be subject to your husband, and husband subject to the wife. And this particular, as a church is, pastor be subject to church, and the church subject to the pastor. Now, no place does it say the man is subject to the woman, except there is a thought lying in there. Because he's got to love her, and if he loves her, there's a subjection there too. Because it means to bear and to forbear and do all those things in there too. And I'm not mixed up in what I believe. Don't worry. I just interjected that. Now, so therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint. We receive mercy. We faint not. Now let's go back. Let's hold your finger there, and we go to that one in Ephesians that I brought out. It says here. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see, there's a grace goes with that gift. And notice there's a mercy here. Now, just a minute. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The ministry here of taking the veils away, the ministry God given to put a man into transformation, to rapture, sure. It shows the mercy of God at this end time when God would blot a church out because they're wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and didn't know it, and kicked him out of the church. What did Ahasuerus do when his queen kicked him out of the bed? Oh, he said, that's okay, honey. There's a beautiful Jewess down the street there. He said, I'll just take her. Goodbye. Threw her out. That's right. The church refused to have spiritual intercourse with her husband in order to bear children of this hour. God said, you're finished. The divorce is on. Oh, yes, that's 2 Thessalonians. That word is divorce. The catching, you know, that putting away. And I told you what Dr. Hoyer said about over there in Matthew. He said, I know you not. That's not what he said. The literal translation, I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. There's a ministry in there. See? And the people that don't understand what we're saying, without understanding, they're minimizing the power of this man's ministry of the word. I'm not glorifying William Branham. Look, he had his troubles. I had my troubles. Absolutely. He could have domestic problems. Same as I got domestic problems. You got them. He had a lot of trouble with his stomach, a lot more than I ever had. He could get headaches, anything else. He was a human being. Let me tell you one thing. He was God to the people. Now, if he was God to the people, how much God was he to the people, and what did he have to give us? Now, there's the big question right there. What about that in relation to the presence? See, prophets don't operate. This prophet doesn't operate apart from God being way up there. He's right down here. I want to ask what came down. The Lord descended with a shout. See? Yeah, we'll meet the Lord in the air. So they think that's the same one that we're going to meet in the air. No way. That's the Lord said to my Lord, sits on my right hand. And that's right back to 1 Corinthians 15, where who is bringing under whose feet all things objection? And what is under Christ? What is under Christ's feet because he's the one above us? The bride. Well, come on. And under her is the world. Who came down? He said, well, I don't know. I can take that word and come down. Then dimension. Put a dimension. He's in a dimension. He's in a role. But he's here in a way he wasn't here before. The very personal presence of Almighty God manifested. Prophecy. There's lots of mysteries maybe concerning these things, but it's not too hard. Okay, so Brother Bale, I heard that Brother Branham said that birth control pills are one of the sins of Sodom. Brother Branham did not say that. I said it because it got into the book of Jasher. Three things in the book of Jasher. It's about the only book I read of the ancient books. And brother, by the way, Paul the Apostle quoted from the book of wisdom. But don't you and I try. It's not up to us. But he did quote from it. 2 Corinthians, one of those verses in there. My memory's not too good. But the book of Jasher seems to ring a bell. There's two books. The one that I used to own, if I don't own anymore, seemed to ring a bell, seemed more authentic. And it is true that there was birth control pills, wanton murders, and I think the third was sodomy. I'm not quite sure. There's three major things. I forget. Brian, you never heard me say it. You've got a good memory. My memory's lousy. People got to quote me back to myself because I read it out of the book, you see. Well, all right, we've got to miss that. But there's three major things. Now let's go to the rest of the question. Does this mean that it's wrong in every case? No, Brother Branham said it is not wrong in every case, but he specified the wife's life would have to be in danger. And many people, I realize, also have interviews, and they say perhaps a little bit different, but I have nothing from Brother Branham outside of that point at that point. My wife has severe problem with nausea during pregnancy. Well, if she doesn't mind being pregnant, I can tell you right now that there's two things that cure pregnancy, cure nausea right now. See, you get it from Standard Process Laboratory. It's merely vitamin C and vitamin F. And you get it through the druggist. It's called Cataplex. It doesn't mean one more thing. You think you pay for a fancy name, but it's C and F. I've seen cases where women would lose the baby or lose their lives and just turn around just like that. And if you think that's wrong, you talk to Rebecca Smith. The first baby didn't cause her one bit of trouble. The second baby, she's on dope and pills. The doctor said, Becky, you know better. You're health-minded. She said, Bernie, what am I going to do? I'm so sick. I said, I'll tell you what to do and anything to it. I said, let's get hold of Doc Cash. I said, it's Cataplex F and C. So she took a double dose the first morning, took a double dose the next morning. Third morning, she felt fit as a fiddle. So there's lots of things to help that, if you don't mind the pregnancy. Brother Branham told us what natural birth control was. And there's a lot of argument concerning it. It has to do with her fertility period, which is based upon two features, which is you can take the mucus test of the canal and also the temperature. But it takes a lot of training along that line, a lot of study in the sense of you've got to be very meticulous with taking your temperature and all. Women also get pregnant that way. Many of them cannot get pregnant until they take, just go on and on and on and finally find that day when they're fertile out of that once every 28 days. Now there is a theory, of course, on hand that there are 2 days out of that 24, 28, a woman could become pregnant. I don't know about that. That's a theory that comes out of England. But the tests that come out of Australia and also through the Roman Catholics, mostly because they're the ones that fight the good fight of faith on this one, and they're perfectly right on it. The two things you use are the mucus test and the temperature test, and they have been very, very, very successful. Now if the woman's life would be in danger, I would say then it must not be done. You could just have the tubes. The Brother Branham said the cords tied. That's what he certainly recommended. Not the man, but the woman. And I don't know any case where he advised some woman who got desperately sick, or was very sick, that she would do this. Perhaps he might have been a personal case. I do understand that he did say to Billy Paul's wife, and I don't like quoting anything in the family there, because they have the R factor. I think it was that the children were born dead, and it just, you see those beautiful little babies perfectly formed, just kill you to see them born dead. Nothing they could do. And I believe that she was advised that she could have something done, because it was never going to work. She had the two boys, that was it. But I know that they had a most beautiful little daughter, I think more than one, and that the children did not live. So therefore, that is a case of, I don't think simply hearsay, I believe that's true, and I speak of it with respect. And I'm not a prophet, I can't advise you beyond what I know the prophet did say concerning that subject. I said, please clarify the following. Apart from the bride, everyone else shall burn and be destroyed because they have not accepted the prophet and his message. In contrast, Revelation 21, 24, 26, the king of the earth bring their glory and honor into them, the city foursquare. That's true, but the first thing you're talking about is this end time. You're talking about a total annihilation, because there's going to be utter destruction spoken of in the book of Acts, spoken of in the book of Malachi, spoken of in Revelation. You can see the total destruction. That's at that period. Now, you also notice Brother Branham said, let me see if I can find it in the book of Revelation. See, I'm on the spot here. I can't find scripture that easy because I just don't have that kind of a mind. But I believe it's in chapter 20. Chapter 20, and I saw thrones and they sat upon them, verse 4, and judgment given on them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark, and their foreheads were in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years finished. Now, Brother Branham mentions that This is the bride through all ages, and not just a smattering of it, not just the tail end. And he said they always had the opportunity to take the mark of the beast and follow the devil. You know that's true. But now at the end time, it's just brought into full material force and function. And so what we see, what we're talking about here, when he shall destroy utterly at the end, like he simply destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, but the whole earth is burned. And he said the germs are burnt and everything else, you know. We're not dissolved now at the end of the 1,000 years. But before the 1,000 years, this burning. Now here's what you're looking at. You're looking then down the ages through the white throne. You see? And the earth has been renovated for 1,000 years and only the bride has lived on it. Now the white throne sets in and everybody comes up. Now it's at that time that they're allowed to go in if they pass certain, never be a real part of it. So that's where these come up here. You see, there's two different things you're talking about. You're talking about retributive wrath of Almighty God when judgment falls at this age and it's all burned up. And now you're looking way down to the second resurrection, the white throne judgment, and to the lake of fire. So there's two different things. And that brings up the very thing we're talking about. We're talking about the roles, the recessive and the dominant. See, it's got a dominant role. You got the dominant picture. You got the recessive. See, you got a dominant judgment at the end of this age. Everything burned up. Then it goes into recession. Then the white throne comes up. Watch it come out again. Here's the judge comes again. He's going to do something. Here's all these wicked ones are going to be turned aside. He's to the lake of fire. See, there's dominant. Dominant, recessive. Same God. Hundreds of titles. But you see, we're a fortunate people to have learned from the prophet. We're very, very fortunate. Why aren't we seeing the gifts of spirit in operation like Brother Branham said should be? The believers with the gifts meeting in a little room before the service begins. Waiting upon the Lord, praying prayerfully for the gifts to operate. Be judged then brought before the church. Well, I tell you what. I'm going to be honest with you. Number one, I mentioned last night when I talked to Brother Branham about my own ministry, which I had a lot of discernment. He said, Lee, you had a lot of discernment. It was very good, very true. But he said you had some error, so leave it alone. That's true. There are certain things I couldn't follow through on. So when he said, leave it alone, I asked him, I said, Brother Branham, why are these things in my life diminishing and gone away? Is it because the age of the gift's over? He said, yes, the age is over. And you've got to believe it. Amen. Now, it doesn't say just because sanctification came, that justification was gone. Poof. And didn't say because the baptism came, they were us not. Choop, gone. They became recessive. And the Holy Ghost was not in that word of that hour for that life. Neither is the Holy Ghost in the word of the Pentecostal age for gifts. In this hour, that's shut. It's gone on to the week. So therefore, you can have justification, sanctification, the baptism, and the gifts. You can have every single thing at this hour. Brother Branham said, as long as there's a true bride on earth, there'll be a true gift of tongues. There's no problem there. But I'll tell you what the problem is. When you go to that room, and people go to that room, you got your minds made up, number one. And I'd have my mind, and I wouldn't be afraid to go in. I don't know what would happen, but who knows? But, you know, he's just waiting for the Lord. But the mind is made up to this respect. Hey, I'm sure this person has the gift of tongues, and this one has the gift of interpretation, and this one has the gift of so-and-so. Brother Branham said, you may prophesy one time, never again. You could speak in tongues, therefore, one time, never again. You could interpret one time, never again. You could have a gift of healing, maybe, for one time, never again. I had a gift of faith going to operation one time. I can tell you the truth. It certainly was. More than once. More than once. That's when you know that you know that you know, and you don't care if anybody else knows or not. And you're ministering to people, not just one or two, but a group. And I've seen it maybe half a dozen people. Discern right off the bat, tell them everything's going to happen right down the letter and say that's the way it's going to be. And that's the way it was. You say, well, do it. Oh, no way, my dear brother, my sister. I saw operating out of the will of God even then. No force the hand of God. Where do you think false anointing comes from? Why do you think I lost it? The more I got in the Word, the more I didn't have gifts. The more I got in the Word, didn't have friends. I'm not. It's not a laughing matter when your living depends on it. Because if you don't have friends, you can't get in your pocketbook. So here's starvation, here I come. My wife can tell you some of what we went through. But why bother? You know, this much. But you see, going in that room then is to go in faith. And before you go in, you got to know that someone would be anointed to discern spirits. Now, they tell me there's a certain fellow runs around as Ernie Spears, and what he does, he talks to people, first of all. And he gets to know people very, very chummy, and gets them spilling their secrets, and he cites them, and he fools them. He's got a good psychological approach. And then he uses this gift around the people. And they say, oh, my, he knows these things. Hogwash. He's a phony and a fraud if he does that. I never caught him, so I care less. I'm just saying those things can happen, you see. Now, that's not the gift of discernment. That's the gift of suspicion or snoopocity or something. You're prying in. And all right, a gift of discernment would know what spirit would be operating in that building. Well, let's come together without maybe somebody even knowing what's going to happen. So you go in there. And so then you've got to pray right and say, Lord, if the gifts of the Spirit are resident in the Holy Ghost and we are full of the Holy Ghost, could there be such a thing as some manifestation amongst us? And therefore, Lord, if there could be, before that could even happen, could somebody possibly know what spirit's in this place? Well, somebody possibly could. And somebody definitely should. Now, if you're yielded to God, that could come forth. But you see, the way the people are, there's such a diffidence now, and there's such a swing to the word, that I suppose we're kind of like using the statement Brother Branham said, oh Lord, he said, let the church come to the place where the gifts of the Spirit are on the shelf, as it were. Notice it, as it were, and that sweet Spirit be amongst us, and all the sick be healed. Well, remember, the gifts of the Spirit are not for the ministry. They're to be amongst the people, and they're complementary to the ministry that the preachers have. That is the fivefold. So, you don't have too big a problem here, really, if you want to do this. Now, whether something comes forth or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, don't try to make it come forth. You say, how do I know it's of God? I don't know how you're going to know it's of God. I honestly can't tell you. Except you better wait and find it. You say, what if it proves wrong? Then it wasn't of God, you got to get the Spirit out of you. Well, now that puts me on the spot. Your brother said, well, ain't I on the spot? Now, I don't know how to go about it. Other than what I'm saying. Now, Brother Branham wanted me to go with him to Chicago. First of all, he wanted me to come to Louisville, but he couldn't get the building. They sold it out. What he said later on. He wanted me to go to Chicago. He said, now, Lee, if they will take you as pastor up there, I will come up there and we'll put the church in order and we'll have the gifts operating. Well, fortunately, they didn't want me and I didn't want them. Because I could see right there where it was going. We would not get along too good. You know, my nature is not a nature of a pastor in the true accepted sense of the word of being a real true pastor. I've pastored for years and I do a little bit sort of offhand now, mostly teaching. But Brother Branham was wanting the people to do what he said, and he said, I will go there with you, and when he put his own church in order, they went out. They did not want to come under scrutiny or under obedience. That's a tragic situation. Now, if his church was representative, and I don't say that it is, I am merely suggesting the possibility. If his church was representative, could it been at that time the gifts really died? Because people didn't want the gifts as they should be. Proven, because those that had them, so-called, they left. And those that sat there didn't do a thing about it. So I'm just saying, could it be? Certainly it could be, I don't know. But I don't discourage anybody from seeing what might happen. In my own life, nothing too much happens along this line. When it does, I'm by myself, or actually I'm with somebody else, like, you know, not many people, my wife or somebody else. And something will come to me like a deep, deep impression, as though a voice spoke to me. And I've never known to be wrong yet. Never know one time it's failed. And I don't believe it ever will. Now, every single one of you sitting here could have that same thing. That's no gift that I know of. But when Brother Branham spoke of the gifts in the church, they're far different from what I'm talking about. Mine is like a leading. I don't get many of them. I wish I had more, but that's my fault. I know it's not the Lord's. And I don't look for them. And I don't believe anybody should, because you'll betray yourself into a position that you wish you were never in. So these gifts here, I would say this, look. If our church was in a position to do this, and it is, as we want it to do, any church is, we would just come together, and the first thing we'd do is pray, and say, now Lord, we don't know that we're in a position, or that you particularly want something made known to us, but we know one thing, the enemy's here the same as you are. He can see the same as you see, but by your grace he can't control. So, would you just anoint somebody here that person may discern spirits? So you know what source is from. And you person might feel that the church is, that the group is not in position to get something that would be truly legitimate, truly from the Lord. They may have to pray, confess their sins, make certain things right, get in harmony with each other through the blood and through the Spirit of Almighty God, get things all squared away. Say, all right, I believe the Spirit of the Lord's in this place now, that we could receive from the Lord. Everybody honest and sincere. And then just wait and see if something came forth. Somebody might say at that time, well, no, I don't know that we've really got everything right. Just don't feel a real liberty here yet. I don't feel your confidence. I'm just suggesting this is how it could be. I don't know. Then you just have to wait on the Lord some more and see if something came forth. But there's no way that I know you can turn a little wheel, brother, sister. And if there was such a thing as turning a wheel, I think that you'd be, it would be overdone almost instantly. You'd reduce it to something which would not be God. Question, the prophet taught in the seven seals the Spirit can do nothing until it takes on a form in you. Takes on a form, that's true. Does this gift of Ephesians 1 that Brother Bill spoke of take on a form in the bride to accomplish 1 Thessalonians 15:16 only? Now, if I understand, now the premise of that statement, the question based on a statement, I'd be very careful to let you know that my understanding of what Brother Branham said, the Spirit taking on a form, is this, that there is no such thing as a spirit in a building can do anything to anybody against God or anybody else until somebody opens himself to receive it. Now, that's exactly what I know on that statement, but I don't know anything else. Except I talked to Brother Branham one time, and I said, Brother Branham, if a person constantly dwells on a certain thing and a certain emotional stage, will that thing become a spirit? And he said, you got it, Doc. So therefore, when we're talking about spirits in relation to this, I don't believe we're talking about anything in Ephesians 1. I believe there that is a predestinated plan of Almighty God giving His Son to the Gentile church in the form of the Holy Spirit to do in the form of the Spirit what He did when He was here upon earth in the flesh, proving who He is, and thereby bringing us to revelation concerning Himself, which revelation will follow the pattern of 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 18, and into chapter 4, into transformation. I believe that's what you're looking at. And that Spirit will not literally take on a form. It will take a person, which is William Branham, which it did take. And he's the one that received the ability through that pillar of fire. Like he said, no, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. What's he telling you? Well, he said, the prophet reveals the Son of Man. This is the ministry of the Son of Man. Who was doing it? William Branham standing there. Then what was happening? The pillar, the Holy Spirit that was manifested to him, whose picture was taken, being a pillar of fire. The Holy Spirit's not a pillar of fire. That's the form. That same Spirit was taking that man. He could be standing here and his Spirit moving this way. If he wanted, he could move right into the prophet. And just this ministry began to develop and follow. And that ministry, then, brother, sister, would be miracles and signs and wonders and what have you, wonderful things, and then the Word coming forth. See? And the Word finished, Brother Man said, he's God no longer to the people. Just good old William Branham back fishing and having a nice time. You know, doing what he should do. That's my understanding of that. Now it says, to accomplish into 1 Thessalonians 15:16. No, that's where the descent itself could only accomplish 1 Thessalonians 4:15-16, could only accomplish that on the grounds that it was based on a prophet, because you and I would know nothing of what is transpiring until a prophet came on the scene. Notice that God used John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, there's that great one in our midst now, and he's here somewhere. I'll know him when God points him out to me. God pointed him out. Then you notice that John did. John had to tell what was going on, and he had to explain what was going on. Now, William Branham comes on the scene. Look at his great ministry. Now, he's got to literally tell us why this is going on and explain what it's all about. It's got to be done through a very special person. Question. We know the pyramid through the church ages, or the body, was made up of bride people. That's true. Will the capstone be made up of bride people that connect the head and the body? Will the capstone be made up? No. I don't see that as the capstone. I see the capstone as the singular person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the flesh, as the legitimate capstone. Now remember, we are also a body. And what I have done, I have likened the fact of the body, the last part, like to the neck. Because that's the part that actually the head fits upon. And Brother Branham said the pyramid has a flange which keeps out the dirt and all these other things. See? And so what you got here, then you've got the last part, the end time bride, is something like the neck. And I said, what Brother Branham did come along, Dr. Branham, the great chiropractor, came along to straighten the bride up, and he gave her an adjustment in the neck, and they didn't like it. They didn't like Dr. Branham taking care of the bride. So that's kind of what I see here. I believe it's a physical thing. A certain brother said to me one time, he said, Brother Branham, what is the capstone? I said, no, Brother Branham is not the capstone, but he brings the capstone message. Now, you could say he was the capstone amongst the prophets and amongst the bride if you're simply using the fact of a termination. But you can hardly use it when we're using this term, when we're using this legitimate expression, capstone, and we know what we're referring to, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, the headstone and actually the cornerstone is one and the same thing. The same Jesus that we saw here on earth is going to come down and take over the bride. We'll meet him in the air. Now, the same Holy Spirit, see, the cornerstone rejected, that's becoming the headstone, that cornerstone of the church was the Holy Spirit. Everything's got to be built upon the Holy Spirit. I just see cornerstone and capstone the same thing, but different position. To me. So here we're at the very end time. It says the question and answer, page 103, I am not he, I am his servant. The pillar of fire is not, that's right. This is about page 1017 or so in the Conduct and Order. It's in spirit form seed, which was upon the Son of Man, and has now come to anoint sons of men to bring back a ministry just exactly like he said it would be, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. You see, that's the whole truth. The same pillar of fire that came down and has over 2,000 years anointed men, it has, because that's just anointing going out of him, is now here to what? He is now here to anoint the church. Remember, Brother Branham always used sons of man because Brother Branham himself did not have any different baptism from the Holy Ghost than you and I have. There is no scripture that says the fivefold ministers or the deacons and elders or the sisters or the brothers have different baptisms. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There is one baptism, period. William Branham was no more baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ than you and I were. He just manifested it more. How did he manifest it more? Because of his office. So what we're seeing here then, the Son of Man, which was upon the Son of Man, that's Jesus in the flesh, that one, came back to anoint sons of men. That's showing that it is the Son of Man, and the prophet is the one that he's using. And the prophet reveals the Son of Man. Absolutely right. In order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. That's exactly true. Because there's got to be a place where it comes together. And how is it going to come together unless it comes together in a perfection? Because it comes together with people standing here. Look at brother, sister, if we died, we paid our price. Absolutely. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The wages of sin is death. The body is dead because of sin. That tells you man has got to die, period. He's got to die. But we aren't going to die. So there's an abrogation of this somewhere. What is going to do it? He's going to bring a bride to perfection right on earth here. He's going to have a bride that he said, they without us cannot be made perfect. Now, if they're made perfect, because they are now, they're going to have a glorified body, you and I then got to come to that same place. How is it going to come to that place? Jesus said, be ye perfect, even your Father in heaven is perfect. And Brother Branham said, says God gave the command, God has got to provide the way for it. He's got to do it himself. And he said, the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin till there be no evidence of it. Then how can you make a sinner? Out of that man, the blood scattered. That's why he talks about the blood under the token coming backward. He even talks about the blood. I wish I could have the quote and that explained more to you, but see, my mind's just not like, I don't have the prophet's mind. I don't have the mind good you people do. Mighty Poker could quote it for me. He talks about the before they had the chemistry, but now they got the blood. It was just the chemistry. But you can see what we're talking about now. The blood has become fully efficacious. When did the blood ever take a man to the place where he couldn't die? Show me. Couldn't do it. No, sir. But you got it now. He said the blood brought it, but he also said perfection came another way. Came by the Holy Ghost, baptism. Came also by the washing of the water of the Word. See? Three. We've got absolutely to such a place that the dead can come out of the ground. And you say, well, I'm looking at myself, and I don't see it. That's perfectly true, because you're not going to see it by looking at yourself. You see it by looking at him. See? The image being formed in you is not the image you see, it's the image that God sees. Brother Branham says God does not see us. He only hears our voices through the blood.
Amen.
He sees our representation. Well, that's what he said, so I just stand on that. That's what Paul said. So that's what I'm looking at here. In order for their head and the rest of the body to connect together, Brother Branham directly, he absolutely said he would take this ministry, the perfect ministry return, to bring him back to earth. Positively would, to bring it all together. He tells you right here, there's no way that we can possibly have a resurrection until that ministry has been vindicated to be the same ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word comes forth. And when you've got that, brother, sister, you're under the guarantee. The seals are off the book. It's wide open. It's all over. It's time for Jerusalem to get gathered together. Time for these, all the signs and wonders, all the things are in. So that's what I see here. Again, he said, I am not he, I am his servant. That's right. The pillar of fire is not he, it's in the form of the spirit seed, that which was upon the Son of Man, and has now come to anoint sons of men. That's what he's doing. They're being born again. Now to bring back a ministry, just exactly like he said it would be, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. Now, I can't take you to a verse of scripture right at this moment, but I have had scripture in my mind before I think concerning it. But I know that he brought this exactly what the prophet said, and that's exactly the truth right there. He's going to bring us all together, and we know, because you know what? Elijah has come, vindicated to be so. God has revealed himself. The times are refreshing. Set the picture, set the basis for the whole panoramic, as Brother Branham would call it. And now there's just one thing left, and that's the truth. There's one thing left, and that's for us to appear before him up there. You said the resurrection comes, sure it does, but I'm not talking of that, and I'm just talking about we're into that stage now. The next great stage is we meet him in the air. The resurrection could come tomorrow morning, for all we know. You see, how do you know? I don't know. A lot of things said about it that would make me believe the resurrection couldn't come for the time being, such as the ecumenism and those things spreading in the earth. But what if God did that? What if he said, all right, I'm going to cut it short at this point. There's things where, brother, sister, we have abstract understanding. We have what you might call the indefinite understanding of many things, but we do understand this one thing. We have seen and heard the Elijah of this hour. We know where we stand, or we know this. We know there is, like Brother Brand said, there's a bride out there somewhere. If we are not that bride, and by the grace of God, we'll not stand in the way. Well, that's about the best I can do. Unless anybody else has a question, that takes care of the questions. I didn't ask anybody to help me because at this point I could answer them. When I don't, can't answer them, I ask somebody else. I take the easy ones. I'm like the doctor. They said, the doctor children are so beautiful. And then the little girl said, yes, you know why? Because that's because he's got his pick and he picks the pretty ones. So I'm like the doctor. I pick the easy question. All right, any questions? About another 2 or 3 minutes, 20 to 4. Or perhaps, like Brother Pete says, questions are asked and I don't get the right slant on them. Did I get the right slant in your questions? If I didn't, you go ahead and just say, I asked that question and I didn't quite mean it that way either. Now, Brother Clausen's right, because Brother Branham did the same thing. Yeah?
Could I ask a personal question?
Yeah?
I've listened to a lot of your tapes for a long time and everything, and some of the people said, well, how come they keep calling him Dr. Bale? And some of the people said, well, Brother Bale went to a seminary and everything. And I heard he did. And last time I said, well, I heard he didn't go to seminary, so I was just wondering.
Well, if you could get a doctor's degree from a seminary in 3 months, I got it. I got out before they kicked me out. My wife got a little upset with Brother Branham because, not upset, but you know, she got a little bit curious and not resentful. She said, Brother Branham, why do you keep calling Lee doctor? Well, he said, anybody that knows the Bible as well as he did ought to be called a doctor. I don't really know the Bible that well. I'm going to tell you the honest truth about that whole thing between me and Brother Branham. When I first got to talk with him, we were almost two peas in the same pod. And I went out of there laughing. And I was laughing with joy and just the very humor of it. I said, this guy is as nutty as I am. He believes the most far-out doctrine. Because he believed in speaking in tongues, I believe in speaking in tongues. He believed in one God, I believe in one God. He believed in no eternal hell, I didn't believe in an eternal hell. He believed in predestination down to the core, I didn't know how much So he said, well, how many fleas there be and how many times they bat their eyeballs and how many times, how many take to make a pound of tallow, what have you. And I thought I knew predestination. So one day at the table at our place when we were in Florida, he winked at me and he said, because, you know, he wasn't one of the straight-bound guys that couldn't wink. Kind of a wink, he said, well, you know, Sister Vail, we'll make a good Calvinist out of Brother Vail one of these days. I didn't know. I thought to myself, I was kind of not resentful. I thought, hey, what's this guy talking about? I'm a good Calvinist. I'm not hyper and I'm not super, but I'm a Calvinist. Because I believe in that. But now I know what he meant. He'd get me on the right track. I also know the day I met Brother Branham, he walked in and said, you know who that was? And she said, no. She said, well, that was Dr. Lee Vail. So he gave me my title right away. That was because, you see, we had these doctrines so much alike. And, man, I tell you, I couldn't believe anybody believed the way I was believing. And a man like him, and I knew that there had to be something there then. So he said, well, that's Dr. Lee Vail. He's going to mean something special to me in my ministry later on. But he said, he's not a believer yet, but one of these days we're going to make him a believer out of him. And she said, Lee, I'll never forget the day that you and Bill were out there in the yard talking under that great big tree out front, and you got in your car and drove away. And he said, you know, he's become a believer today. I didn't know that till after Brother Bannon passed on, she told me about that. But no, I don't have any doctorate. I'll be very frank with you. I turned down 2 degrees that I could have had. But look, at one time my English was quite flawless because I could have well majored in that. I never went through university. I just have an equivalent to about, what, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. I'll study and what have you, courses and things, and, you know, summer schools and stuff. But my English at one time was pretty flawless. But, you know, I got to the place where, having listened to Dr. Coffin, that I thought was one of the most brilliant men ever lived, and he was, because at age 27, I think he was president of Dalhousie University or something like that, and a PhD and the whole bit. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, grammar is the ability to make yourself understood. But he said, since the government requires me to teach you some laws, I'll teach you. And he was a brilliant teacher, and he could really get it across. But I've never forgotten, if you can make yourself understood, I'll even coin words to do it, and I do coin them now and then. Now, I'm not as good as Father Divine, or even good as Brother Branham, but I can coin words. No, I don't have a doctorate. It would be pretty disgraceful to my colleagues who are full-fledged doctors, like Dr. Jeffers and Dr. Momolus and, you know, different ones. Peter, you'll get a doctor one of these days. You better watch it, boy. Oh, you're going to say, Don?
Could I ask you to just kind of express the feeling and what went on between you and Brother Branham to write the 7 churches?
You got about 4 hours? No. Let me tell you what happened. When Leo and Gene were going to work on the manuscript and change it around, they left Brother Branham, I think, in 62 or something at that time, and of course the date. And having left Brother Branham, either they or somebody else turned the manuscripts over to Anna Jean Moore Price, you know, Sister Price. That's after her husband had died. She was back from the East. And she went to Brother Branham and she said, Brother Branham, there is no way I can do this because I must absolutely recreate it. And I don't have the ability to do it because I do not know the doctrine. And he said, well, he said, that's all right. He said, I don't think I really want it done anyway. He said, it's not been done, so just let it be. It's just fine. Well, she knew that he did want it done, really, but there wasn't any doing of it at that time. So she came. She said, look, Brother Vail, you know Brother Branham, and I do believe you know some doctrine. I said, I do know doctrine because I've discussed with Brother Branham. I'm knowledgeable to a degree. She said, look, would you take these manuscripts in? Because she said, I cannot possibly do it. There is no way unless I spend internal hours with Brother Branham and do it over again. Well, I said, okay, Sister Price, tell me do. I'll take it to Brother Branham. We'll see what happens. So I went to Brother Branham. I said, Brother Branham, understand that the book cannot be done by Anna Jean and different ones, perhaps. So if you want me to take a crack at it, I think it's pretty well the words that is. I said, I'll take a crack at it and see what I can do. But if you help me a certain amount, we'll get it done. Well, he said, would you, Brother Branham? I said, sure, no problem. Oh, no problem. The understatement of 7 church ages. You want to know the truth. Not quite as bad as Moses had going down into Egypt. But it was rough. So he said, now look, here's the books I've used. So he gave me the books that he used, plus the fact I was fortunate in being in Beaumont where I was able to procure the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia, which is very, 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 very rare. And I was able to get all the books I had need of. So I began researching for him because he told me to research Hyslop's Two Babylons, Broadbent's History, How Did It All Happen by Hazeltine, and different books of that caliber, plus ones I got on my own. And so I decided I would take the church ages and I would read them. And it became very, very great pressure because I began to see that, now just a minute, there is no way that I can say what he's saying just the way he is saying it and then go on over here, because the people don't have a background of understanding, so they know what he's saying. They're going to think it's something else. So I've got to discuss, I've got to put in here, when he talks about the seed of the serpent, I've got to dig into the serpent seed and talk with him and find material and explain what serpent seed is. Then when they know what serpent seed is, they can understand and go along where it's mentioned. Now let's look at Godhead. Now there's some things in here that people just can't understand, so we're going to have to discuss one God. And so what I did, I went to him and I told him, I said, now Brother Branham, what I'm doing here, and the only thing I can feel to do is this must be a book that's going to is going to be a doctrinal treatise as well as a verse by verse exposition. So we'll call it an exposition of seven church ages, if you don't mind, and we will take it from that, from the same point you were taking, but we will have to put in doctrine. That is why you find so much of the seven seals in that book, because there were, and you'll find one time once over the pulpit, Brother Branham said, categorically stated what I'm telling you now, that this book would have in it the doctrine, so therefore the people would be able to understand. And that was one of the, that was the leading of the Holy Spirit, Don, if anything ever was, because I took 4.5 hours on the one point of the baptism with the Holy Ghost alone, that there were not two experiences, as I was sure that Brother Branham taught, and actually literally taught in those same words on tapes, but didn't mean what he was saying. He was saying it to the people so they'd get it. He couldn't have meant what he said, because he turned right around 4.5 hours, told me different, and I followed on tapes where he said he received the rebirth by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I later on found, but anyway, for 4.5 hours, I couldn't believe my ears that he was trying to tell me they were one and the same thing. At the end of the 4.5 hours, I said, Brother Branham, are you trying to tell me that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth is one and the same thing? He said, now you got it, Doc. And it was kind of an expression like, well, now last you got it. He didn't mean it in a sarcastic way. But I was at my wit's end, and I was so torn up and so agitated, realizing that I wasn't, that man's language was not my language. His theology was not my theology. His understanding was not my understanding, and I thought it was. And I said, man, this is terrible. And I was so broken with it. You know, when he said, now you got this, I said, hold it right there, Brother Branham. I said, what about the fact that, well, there were two experiences you had? He said, what two experiences? Well, look, he's a prophet and I ain't nobody, but even a nobody ain't going to take that. You're not in the condition I was in. I wasn't in any condition to take it, because I was completely undone after 4.5 hours of hearing the thing over and over, this is it, this, and not knowing that was it. This is the microphone, this is the microphone, the piano. That's what I was doing. Yeah. It's a microphone. Now you got it. I said, hold it. What about your two experiences? What two experiences? As though he didn't have several. I said, you know, you ought to know you had them. I said, I mean, it wasn't that I was nasty. You'd have to be there, know what I had gone through and was going through. I'd wake up in the morning and try to read it, and within a half an hour, my nerves were so shot, I was trying to literally go on to vomit. I'd lie on the bench, just roll and groan, and then try to get up again and go at it again. I was fought like, brother, I don't want to be fought again, except I was fought this last over what I believe I'm teaching right now. I've been fought again by the devil, and I've gone through my own personal hell on that. But it was rough, so I said, you ought to know you had them. I said, that time, I said, you said you heard the voice speak in other tongues, and your sins rolled away, and you ran and jumped up and down, running down the road. And I said, you also mentioned the time that you were in a woodshed, and like rain pelting your body. And I said, you're receiving the Holy Ghost. Later on, he mentioned about having received the Holy Ghost in a Pentecostal meeting in a black church or something. So I don't know all the experiences he had, because like I said, more. And he drew himself up, and as I said before to the folk, he just drew himself back and he put his finger literally on my nose and said, Brother Bale, we don't go by experience, we go by the Word of God. By that time, it shook me down. I knew what he was doing. I said, okay, Brother Branham, have it your way. I'll write it up. And I will say this. When I wrote up, when I believed him, when I believed what that prophet said, and this is the key to my own personal ministry that I'm going to tell you about, and it's the truth as I stand before God here, I wouldn't tell you lie, I believe it's the utmost truth, and this is when it happened. When I did that, and I realized what he was saying, I knew then one God as I never knew before. Because if you preached the baptism as apart from the rebirth, you got two spirits involved. or two times. Same Spirit won't work. Once is enough. So you can't trace Scripture on what you're taught from this Pentecostals and all this stuff they teach. They're wrong. At the same time, although I had heard Brother Branham speak on seed, I never understood it. But from that moment on, I did. There's no problem. From the same moment on, I could open Galatians and understand Galatians. So therefore, I've had key experiences in my life of understanding this word and going with it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't base my life on experience in this word. I base it on the fact I have had experiences from a good God who will continue to give me good experiences and continue to show me and teach me what I need to know for the sake of the people. And I believe this last little while, though I've not been too happy with myself, because I like things to go more fluid and fluently in my own ministry. Things have come to me in just allowing God to help me to pick the sermons to teach in my own church, our own little church over here on 47 Bell Fountain, that some of the real tremendous things that Brother Branham said that you will not get in any theology anywhere or from any other person in 2,000 years, we are getting revealed to us in the things that he said. See, it's just coming together. And when it comes together, you're seeing Christ in his own word, revealed in his own word. And that's what you're seeing. And let me remind you, brother, sister, it is that which you're looking at. Is that like that cyclotron, the omega reflection? See, if they'd only not veiled Moses' face. See, they tried to hang a Baptist veil on Brother Branham. They tried to hang a Pentecostal veil on him. He tried to hang a lot of veils on him, but he wouldn't be veiled. You could never veil him. There's no way. He couldn't, just like Paul. He came out kicking. See, Brother Branham had a pretty violent birth. He didn't have one of those little tiny, sweet little bursts, you know, he'd go to the altar, pitter-pitter-pat, you know. Which, I'm not against that. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the man. The man was a violent man when it came to tearing down kings. To be a prophet, you've got to be violent. You got to tear down, muck up, mess, just push the thing in and take and mold by the hands of God. And Brother Branham came out kicking and screaming, believe me. And he just tore every one of those veils off. There wasn't a veil, they couldn't pin him. He's born in the Roman Catholic era, family. Irish Catholic, Indian extraction, the whole bit. No hope and no God, no nothing. Look how he came through. Just a tremendous person. You see, not a veil upon him. Now you see, they put a veil upon Moses. The people did. Didn't say Moses wanted, it said the people did. See? Now at that time then, therefore, if they had not put the veil upon Moses, that would have, the reflection, prophets reflect through God, that word coming in the pillar of fire and the prophet, that illuminated revealing word going to people, striking them, would have gone right back to God's. Because that's what the word's given for. The bride gives back in ministry to her husband what he provides. Then you see that same word coming and God will strike the prophet again. That's what's going on here now, though you don't realize it. You see, that's one reason I preach the way I preach. I know what's going on, yet I'm a very stupid person. And I'm not grateful enough for what's going on. I'll be honest with you. Then you see hitting the people go back again. And this time when it comes back, it's more intensified. And it comes faster and faster. And you know, and our own people which are here, and there are not too many of them, of course, you know in your hearts, I'm telling you the truth, that every time I go into what the prophet went into and show you the 80% of his message, God and the prophet, something is quickened and quickened you, and it's easier and simpler. It's just moving faster and faster. And the faster a thing moves, the less friction there is. Until it takes off. Gravity does not have a pull when the speed gets high enough. And remember, we're not back in the Frenchman's day when he thought a thing rolling 30 miles an hour would defy gravity and go off into space. We are at the age of what? 10,000 miles an hour or 20,000 or 30,000 an hour, whatever it is. How fast does that rock get off the ground? I don't know. You know, Peter, you're not in that type of scientific. What about it, Gene? 18,000 miles. Well, that's getting pretty close. 20, 30, 18,000, see? That's the speed. Well, you tell me how gravity is going to defy that, and remember, that's fire. It isn't the liquid doing it, though the liquid is doing it, but without that charge, as Brother Branham said, that spark, that car doesn't move, that rocket doesn't move. And remember, it's solid, isn't it solid? Fuel for propulsion. We've got a solid rock, brother, that's taking fire. And getting out of here. See? You can liken everything in nature to God. Now you see it's moving faster and faster. See, now you think it's going slow. I want you to look back. I want you to look back to 1981 when under direct inspiration, when those Norwegians came to listen to me preach, and I didn't want to preach to anybody, let alone them. And I said, I'm going to preach this morning. I broke into 1 Corinthians 15 and saw the sequence of the Word of God. Paul put the church in order, put the gifts in order, explained the bride and the groom and the whole setup, and that brought on the resurrection. I said, my God, that's William Branham, resurrection around the corner. Then I saw God coming down, putting the church in order, and that stuck me for a long time because I couldn't take the word subdue in its proper place because subdue means like break and put down. God, I said, God does not subdue that way. There's no way he's a God of love. As a shepherd leading sheep. And then afterward, I found to my dismay that the word subdue is the same word klusma. The Lord shall descend with a command with the word which is a message, and that message puts the church in order. God himself is bringing the bride into subjection so that Christ becomes overall and we can take the millennium over. So therefore, now it's moving faster and faster. And Brother Branham said, things are moving so fast in the desert, I can't even keep track. 22 years ago, I think he made the statement. What's going on today? See? Oh, yeah, things are moving. And yet they're very slow to us. And I get very concerned that there's a breakdown in our thinking today in our lives, that we're getting careless. We're getting like kind of, you know, old rock and shed done got me down. Remember, amen, person? Oh, you can't go to heaven in a rocking chair. Because the Lord don't want any lazy folk there. And you can't go to heaven on roller skates. You roll right by them pretty gates. Now, come on. We're not on a teeter-totter or having a good time. We're having a good time. Oh, yeah, having a good time. But we're going to have his good time. So, did I answer anybody's question? I don't know if you're not. Well, I can tell you the truth, brother, sister. We're in that cyclotron right now. You know something? In the cyclotron, there'll be an atom. They're working on, it'll disappear, and suddenly, out of nowhere, it reappears. And one day, we is going to disappear, and suddenly reappear. And the cyclotron is there to change the atom. And we're getting changed in our atoms according to the very Word of God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In a moment, within our atoms. What's going to do it? What did it in the first place? Word. Let us do. Let us make. God, Brother Brand said, is going to create again. Not through sex. But the way he created in the first place. Take anything that's gone even to gases. Bring it with the Holy Ghost touch. He's going to bring it right back. New bodies. New everything. You know what's going on right now. Time and eternity have blended. That means mortality and immortality have begun to blend. Brother, it has. He said, if you're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, it won't stand in her way. He was telling you flat, it's going on, it's going on, it's going on. You believe it if you want, or don't believe if you want. This generation shall not pass away. That word doesn't only mean 20 years or 10 years of this people. It means this breed of people. This kind of people, this sodomite, homosexual, filthy serpent seed bunch are not going to pass away. I don't care what laws you do, and you spend $100 billion to get rid of the AIDS, and I don't think it's going to happen, and something else will come along. It'll take trillions of dollars to get rid of, and if they get rid of that, something else is going to come along. But this filthy, rotten bunch are going to get wiped into dust and ashes by the fire of God. They are not going to be exterminated any other way. And they're going to be here, they're going to be here, and they're going to stay here. But we ain't. We're getting out of here. We are not going to stay here. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Now you see, how real is that you were there? I'm not too terribly real, but I know it's true. I'm not. It's not too real to me that they're out. Wow, somewhere around here there's a beautiful Rolls Royce. I don't think they're so great myself, but there's a Rolls Royce out there. That's not too real to me, but it's there. I got a car sitting out there. It's not too real to me, but it's there. Right now, at this point, I've got a liver. It doesn't seem too real because I'm not burping. Feel pretty good. But it's there. How about your feet? But it's there. Well, long as it's there and you believe it, what's the big deal? You're not going by emotion. No, it's nice to have emotion. Sometimes you have too many of the wrong ones. They get angry in the wrong spots. Something like that, you know, or get happy that something might happen and it won't. But here, you've got vindication. You've got proof. The cyclotron of God is working, brother, sister. Oh, yeah. Any more questions? You got 1 minute left. I got a half minute. Okay.
You mentioned the relationship.
How about
gas?
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what. Brother Branham seemed to use those words interchangeably. I have more or less taken the thought of the headstone being actually the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost, because he said the headstones here, capstones here. I my own self, I don't really differentiate as though there is a differentiation, because it's one and the same thing. All it is what the manifestation is. So I just say, well, all right, if I call it the headstone, I'm going to call it that because it's the physical, and I'll call it capstone because it's the spiritual. But I don't think that Brother Branham ever pinned it down any way to say, well, you got to use one against the other. But I know it's Christ been all along. It's Christ all along. And remember, he said that rejected cornerstone must be the head. And it's going to come forth with cryings of grace. He said that's in Zechariah. So that's about all in that. That's fine. Well, that's good. Tonight, Brother Terry is going to preach. I will not preach tonight. I will not preach tomorrow. I will luxuriate. I will take it easy. I will enjoy myself with your lovely company. I appreciate your kindness in coming. I certainly do that. I mean, that's the truth. And some of you, I've known you for a long period of time. Love you very, very dearly. And this certainly makes up to all the times that I haven't been seeing you and with you. And certainly wish you all the best. I know so many people here pray for me daily.